Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
You're listening to Straight Talk with Dean and Mark. We thank you for tuning in and hope you enjoy another exciting episode of our show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Straight Talk with Dean and Mark. It's been a rough couple of weeks for hip-hop, man. Peaceful journey to the family of Robert Ross, better known as Black Rob. It's like, whoa. He passed away this past Saturday, April 17th. So it's been kind of rough for hip-hop the last couple of weeks. And, you know, hopefully no one else or join the ancestors anytime soon. So, you know, peaceful journey, Black Rob. Thanks for what you did for hip hop, bro. We appreciate you. Now, I was checking the news out, man, and the judge in the Derek Chauvin case. Of course, we know Derek Chauvin is the individual who is on trial for the death of George Floyd. But the judge says Maxine Waters' comments could lead to the whole case being overturned. Now, the judge in the case of ex-cop Derek Chauvin said on Monday the entire case could be overturned over inflammatory comments made by Representative Maxine Waters. Defense attorney Eric Nelson told Hennepin County District Judge Peter Cahill that an elected official, U.S. congressperson, made statements that I think are reasonably interpreted to be threats against the sanctity of the jury process and had the effect of threatening and intimidating the jury. Now, Cahill denied the motion, but told Nelson, I'll give you that Congresswoman Waters may have given you something on appeal that may result in this whole trial being overturned. The exchange came as the judge turned the case over to the jury, which began deliberating on murder and manslaughter charges in George Floyd's May 25th death. Now, Waters has drawn criticism for telling protesters demonstrating last week's fatal police shooting of Dante Wright in neighboring Brooklyn Center should stay in the streets and get more confrontational if Chauvin is not found guilty. We've got to stay in the streets and we've got to demand justice, Waters of California told a crowd of demonstrators in Brooklyn Center on Sunday. We're looking for a guilty verdict, she said, of the Chauvin case, and if we don't, we cannot go away. We've got to get more confrontational. Now, I'm not sure how to really feel about that. Part of me says this is the system that, which as a congresswoman, you've passed laws and, you know, you voted on things that kind of have made it this way. And we just had an individual in office for the past 4 years that turned the whole country upside down, and in the process gave a whole lot of individuals a false sense of security and confidence. So now on the other side of that, those of us who, yeah, we want to see Derek Chauvin found guilty, but you may have wanted to keep quiet before, you know, anything you say doing a trial, and she doesn't have anything to do with the trial itself, but because you are a person of influence, so now you've made this comment and you're saying we need to be more confrontational and do what? You know, you can fight with the police, but you know what, some of them are waiting probably for that moment to give them the license to take you out. So which way are we going to fight? Are we going to fight by passing more stringent laws, getting rid of qualified immunity, you know, not allowing these officers to feel that they can do whatever they want without being reprimanded, terminated, or criminally prosecuted? or are we going to just stay in the streets chanting and giving speeches and talking about what should be and what shouldn't be without any action? So something to think about. And I know some people feel one way and some people feel another way, but at the end of the day, George Floyd lost his life because someone felt that they had the power to take it from him, and they did that. And then the young man got shot by someone who claimed that they thought they had their taser. I'm sorry. There's nothing you could tell me. They don't even feel the same. So we hope she gets the justice that she worked so hard to try to avoid, that she, or the power she thought she had. May that be taken from her, and may she be punished severely as well. But before y'all give these inflammatory comments, man, think about it real quick. Is it going to help the cause, or is it going to hurt the cause? Because you just might have gotten them off, and then what? You're going to burn your neighborhood down? That's real, real absent of thought. I'll put it like that. But anyway, it's the six-man Dean Geronimo, and I'm in the studio from NJ to NC with my right-hand man, Mark Lee. So, Mark, tell me what's good in your neck of the woods, my brother.
Well, everything's quiet in this neck of the woods. I'm just sitting here chilling, just went out to get a quick bite to eat. That's why I was running a few minutes late. And, of course, we've had all kinds of interesting conversations going on international broadcast media. I actually had the privilege of talking to a psychic earlier today. So we had Corby on. She's a psychic actually up there in New York, talking about the difference between legitimate psychics and non-legitimate psychics and all of that. So it was an interesting conversation. And she likes to put it, she doesn't like to deal with the wiki-woo stuff. She likes to deal with real stuff and not wiki-woo stuff and all of that. So it was an interesting conversation. Talked about some things that she's experienced, some things that she's had the pleasure of seeing in her own life, and even how she got the gift and all of that. So that was quite interesting, but definitely an interesting conversation with her. And then I had three business people, including one that has their own business network on Black Business Network and all of that. So great conversations, very enlightening conversations on today. And then, of course, we did our Funk Music with Zach show on Sunday, and then we just had two of his relatives who were ministers on. So we got into a very deep spiritual conversation on that particular show. And then on Saturday, we just did the regular show that he does, Funk from the Front Seat, and he had a special guest on that one as well. So, you know, I've been keeping busy, trying to keep busy between the grading of papers as well as a lot of the other things going on. I know people are paying attention to the trial and to a number of other concerns that they've got going on. But that's what's going on in this neck of the woods. But I don't know how you're feeling about the trial, because you mentioned protests. We had protests here as well, and there was some vandalism and things along that line. So I'm for people, you know, being concerned whether it goes their way or doesn't go their way, but I don't think we need to have vandalism, because that just causes more problems than we're actually solving. I'm all about trying to find true answers and true solutions, and not these pretend answers and pretend solutions. So that's just kind of like where I'm at. I don't mind. Definitely believe in freedom of speech, and definitely believe that if we need to protest, we go out there and make those protests heard. But, you know, vandalizing, that makes no sense to me whatsoever. And then we just recently learned here in Durham that, you know, sometimes it can be, you can have too good of a thing. So apparently our police chief was too good of a thing, because she was working on the gangs, working on ways to cut down on some of our gun violence. And we have had a lot of gun incidents here, even in the last several weeks and everything. But she was working on initiatives. And then she got, you know, into one of these national police boards and got into the national spotlight. And then Memphis came calling, and it looks like she's taking the Memphis job. So it looks like we are about to move our police. So much shout out to CJ Davis, the great work that she's done here. But now we got to go back to the drawing board and find new leadership. Are you available?
No, bro. I got 7 years left, and I'm going to do my job where I am. And when these 7 years are done, I'm going to say, you know, it's been a good 29-year ride. And I'm going to enjoy life a little bit, you know. That you, when you go to different places, and it, crime is everywhere. Don't get me wrong. Some places are a little less crime-ridden than others. But it takes a lot of work, and you have to deal with so many personalities, not only from the public, but from your own staff and, you know, individuals that you work with, and you got to be able to juggle all of that stuff up, man, and make it work. And at the same time, you got to make sure that all of your officers are doing what they should be doing and not out there, you know, just going rogue or acting on their own. So it's right. a very difficult position to be in. And for those who have been able to balance all of that, then of course other areas are probably like, you know, we have the same problems, but let's see if we can put a couple of more dollars to the deal and see if we can bring someone here that has proven that they can get the job done. And that's the funny thing about, you know, law enforcement administration. You may be somewhere, some people do their whole careers in one place, and then others do their career in different places, and they're able to, you know, go and produce and be successful. So it's you never know. Like, you may think you have somebody for that amount of time, and next thing you know, they're gone.
They got a better job, and they got more money, and they got to go where the opportunities are. I mean, I don't blame them. We've had that happen a couple of times. I know that we had another police chief that actually went and ran the park system, if I remember correctly. I think that was one of our past ones, that she was running the park system up in D.C. for a while and everything. And then we've had others that have gone to other places, not just in our police force, but even like our Parks and Rec. One of our Parks and Rec leaders went out to California. So like I said, you know, you got to go where the opportunities present themselves, and particularly in this age when so much stuff is being done virtually. But I mean, that's something that cannot be done virtually. You still got to have some hands on in whatever city you're going to in terms of law enforcement. So that's something that you just got to roll with and all of that. But on the other issues that I thought that people might be interested in is immigration. So I was seeing that the former president, George W. Bush, has come out a couple of times, including in an op-ed, asking Congress to tone down the harsh rhetoric on immigration. And he was actually even giving examples of some people that he knew of that were immigrants, like Madeleine Albright, like Dirk that plays in the NBA, and like a number of other players, I mean, people as well. So definitely he was putting on the fact that, you know, the nation is oftentimes dependent on immigrants and all of that. So he was actually telling to back off on the harsh tones, and let's try to come up with a system that will actually be beneficial for everybody, including the immigrants of society. So one of the things he said apparently in this interview on CBS was, I do not want to say to Congress, please put aside all of the harsh rhetoric about immigration. Please put aside trying to scare political points on either side. I hope I can help set a tone that is more respectful about the immigrants, which may lead to reform of the system. So definitely a lot of folks are thinking the system needs to be reformed, but we don't need to be having it as a political hot potato, for lack of a better term.
Right. And we have to be careful about, you know, all of this stuff, man. We want to change rules. You want to change laws. You want to change. A lot of times, you're not going to be able to do it by just losing all kind of self-control. You know what I mean? We have to find a better way to fight. And it's going to take something. And, you know, it's going to be frustrating. It's not going to be easy. But at the same time, we got to figure out how we are going to do all of this stuff without, you know, like you said, it was vandalism. What does that serve? I mean, I'm just curious. You burn down your neighborhood so you don't have nothing left. All right. What am I supposed to do? Say, oh man, they're serious. They set the whole block on fire. All right. You set your whole block on fire. You won't have a place to live, or, you know, your family won't be able to get stuff for, you know, your house or whatever it may be. What are you going to do? Like, how are you going to... We got to find a better way, man, because this same cycle, and it happens over and over and over. Someone dies, we go march in the street. Someone dies, we go back to the street. Someone dies. And this is a cycle that hasn't stopped. And it continues to go. And nobody has said, you know what? Maybe we do need to get rid of this. You know, police officers just can't move without fear of being punished when they do something wrong, or when they mistreat someone, or when they infringe on a person's rights, or any of that stuff, man. So what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? You know, got to get smart about it.
We definitely got to get smart about it and figure out some kind of way to do better than we've been doing, because we've been messing up left and right, and nobody seems to have an understanding of why we're messing up or how to deal with it in a more sane kind of approach and all of that. And speaking of sane approaches, I don't know what your thoughts are about this, but another article that I saw that was of interest to our listeners and everything was apparently out there in the West Coast, you know, they'd like to do innovative things in the West Coast. They're looking at a universal income for our poor people. So I think that they were putting that in, that they might be having universal income. Like, I know Stockton's already got one. I think they're even looking at Los Angeles and a couple of other places. So what are your thoughts about this whole notion of maybe we'll get some kind of universal income going on? Because that's definitely an interesting thought that is out there in the public eye. Like I said, I was looking at LinkedIn, and I did see that that was something that folks are paying close attention to in that regard. So I don't know what your thoughts are about universal income and whether that's something we should even be looking at too, because it says L.A. is considering free money for the poor. So free money for the poor says Los Angeles could be the next city to experiment with a universal basic income for some of its low-income residents. So the city's mayor, Eric Garcetti, has asked city council to set aside $24 million in next year's budget for a guaranteed income of $1,000 to $2,000 for low-income families with children around the city. With the move, L.A. would join the likes of Compton, Stockton, and San Francisco, among others, in tasting and testing a basic income, a policy proposal that has gained momentum over the last decade. So it could be everybody just gets like $1,000 or $2,000 just to live off of with that universal income, which could definitely level the playing field to some degree, even though the rich will still be rich, but at least the poor will have some sort of amount of regular check that will be coming their way, even though it's definitely not going to make them rich, not at $1,000.
You know what? How about making education free?
Yep.
So individuals can work on learning something that would carry them for the rest of their lives, and learning a trade or going back to school to learn something that they're interested in doing. Because I just don't believe that people are just hanging around, you know, kind of like sitting back. There are people that want to work, but then there are companies that don't want to hire. They'll claim they're hiring. They'll say, you know, well, you know, and it's not one-sided. You know, some people are selective with the jobs in which they would choose to take. And then there are some who really don't want to work. For those
right.
individuals, give them the opportunity to learn a trade, because the trades are always in demand. And, you know, it's like, I don't know about just giving them $2,000 a month. That's not going to really do too much, depending on where you live, you know. But
yeah.
if you're going to do it for them, you might as well do it for all of us. You got to know, it's numbers on a sheet of paper. So when the country says, oh, we don't have the money for this, well, you kind of do, because you cut all those stimulus checks. So now it'll be a stimulus check every month as opposed to whenever you feel like giving it. So just give everybody that right there. And then that way it won't be it's still a class thing, you know, in a certain way. They're like, okay, well, these individuals are the poor or the working poor. And then you have the lower middle class, the middle class, and the upper middle class. And everybody kind of tries to stick themselves in a certain slot. But you know what? Even if it's like $2,000, okay, you could give $2,000, just give $2,000 to everybody. Now, everybody's getting the $2,000. Now, what else you get on top of that is up to you. Yeah, 2,000 is a small number, and I'm just using it for an example right now. But, hey, that's an extra 24,000 a year. You know, so.
All right.
Boom. Every adult can get $2,000. What about the kids? What about the kids? Like, the parents' job is to take care of the kids. Kids are our broke little best friends. So, you know, now, don't think because you got five kids that you're going to get $12,000 or $14,000 because it's two adults now. Nope. We're going to give all the adults $2,000 every month, and you make it do what it do. Now, if you don't go out there and work and you try to live off that $24,000 a family of four or five, then maybe you were one of the people that should not have had any children because you set the horrible example. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it comes down to what do you want? If you make education free, which they can do, you see they beat everybody up on the taxes. Like, now people who have never owed money, and, you know, you allow Dippity Doodah to change the tax structure. So now it helped out the 1%. Fooled you into believing it was going to help the middle class, and y'all drank the Kool-Aid, Jim Jones style. Like, you know, at some point, we got to start looking at stuff and calling BS where it is. Like, nah. You know, you would not be so gung-ho about this deal if you didn't get something out of it. And they should have known this guy is not coming from the goodness of his heart. He was coming from a place of, hey, I can get this over on them because they're going to think it's something to help them. Oh, we got suckered again. You know?
Yep.
Stop leading
That's
with
real
your
true.
Heart. You know, stop leading with your heart. Use your brain, man. Use your brain. Sometimes your brain's going to tell you, your gut's going to tell you, this is not it. And you have to be strong in your conviction and say, you know what? No. When they ask you why, you don't need an explanation. I said no. No means no, and then that's all it is. I don't owe you to break down why I said no. That extends the conversation, and it also gives people the attempt to try to change your mind. But when you say no and you leave it at no, but why? Because I said so. Now, bounce. There's nothing they can do.
All they can just do is say no and leave that no answer as what it is, which is no.
Yeah, you don't like my no, then keep it moving, Jack, because I'm not changing it, and I don't owe you an explanation. I'm grown. The only people I owe explanations to, one of them is now deceased, and my father just turned 83 years old this past Friday. Shout out to Sergeant First Class retired J.W. Pearson Jr. You know what I mean? But other than that, I don't owe you an explanation.
Oh, by the way, I saw the pictures. I saw them online and everything. I'm convinced that your father has found found the fountain of youth. Because when I looked at that picture, he did not look as old as you claimed he was. So I'm convinced he's found the fountain of youth. I need him and my dad to tell me where they're hiding it at, because I'm convinced that both of them have found the fountain of youth. Because I looked at that picture, and I've looked at pictures of my own pop, and I'm going like, they have found the fountain of youth, and they are hiding it from you and me. So I need to know where they're hiding it from and when they're going to turn it over.
At least let us get a little bit, right? But, you know,
just
like
a little bit.
When I go home and, you know, my father won't ask for the senior citizen discount. And it's funny because the last time we went out, and I asked the waitress, I said, you know, do you give discounts for veterans? Yes, sir, we do. Are you a veteran? I said, I'm not, but he is. And he's also a senior citizen. And so the lady was like, oh, really? How old are you, sir? And at that time, he was probably about 76, 77 years old. And she said, he told her, and she was like, I don't believe it. I was like, show your driver's license, because no matter what you say, you know, some people are like, why is he lying? But I'm like, he was born 1938. So, you know, like, he was born in the end of the Depression. You know what I mean?
Right.
He is how old he says he is. You know, they look at me, they're like, well, okay, well, you, and, you know, people's math, when they try to add and figure out, and it throws you off because my beard is entirely gray.
Right.
You know, so she's looking at me like, oh, yeah, so two senior citizen discounts. I'm not saying a word. I'm going to take the little discount. Thank you, ma'am. I'm out of here. You know, like.
Sometimes you just like, got to roll with it because sometimes you just got to roll with it because sometimes people be confusing my dad for my brother. And I'm like, hey, just roll with it. I can't argue. I got the gray beard. He got a gray beard, but he's much more fit than I am because he actually believes in exercise. So, and I know I need to believe in exercise, but he actually does a much better job of that than I do.
Yeah, once it starts getting warm, I'm back out to walking, man. And, you know, walk around the neighborhood and just kind of take the sights in. And I don't have to do all of that. You know, I still have friends who pump the weights and really get it in, but not for me.
Now, I'm just talking basic exercise. And I actually did that this past, I didn't do it yesterday, but I did it this past Saturday. There's actually a pond near me. And I had been saying that when the weather broke, I was going to go start trying to walk that pond on a regular basis. So I knew we got shows today. So I knew yesterday was out and tomorrow and today was probably out. But I was definitely going to do a pond walk tomorrow. And I did it on Saturday, the first one. And it felt refreshing, one, walking down to the pond because it's not a short walk to the pond. It's probably about maybe a mile and a half. And then the circle block around the pond is probably another half a mile. So I probably did like about a 2-mile walk. And it definitely felt refreshing. The body felt it later on, so I know that I need to get back into that on a more regular routine because, like I said, it was enjoyable. Saw some people out there walking their dogs. Even took a couple of pictures of the dogs because one of the dogs was a big collie and the other dog was a little poodle. So all variety of sizes of dogs were out there and everything. Wow. One of the things I saw in the news that you might find interesting as one that's done working in security and law enforcement is that apparently in Houston recently, screeners at a Texas airport security checkout were surprised when they found an extra ingredient hidden inside a traveler's breakfast burrito.
The crystal
so
meth.
apparently they found some crystal meth in this burrito. So Transportation Security Administration agents noticed a strange lump in a breakfast burrito inside a traveler's carry-on luggage during a routine screening on April 2nd at the William P. Hobby Airport, and they decided to check it out. It says the unusual size and nature of the lump prompted additional inspection. An agent asked for it to be unwrapped, and the traveler insisted it was just a burrito. The agent again requested the passenger open it. Once opened, the agent noticed something dark and unusual inside it. A supervisor was called over, and they ran the burrito through the x-ray again. The second screening revealed what appeared to be black tape and dark wrapping around a large organic mass. Breakfast burritos are delicious, but officers were surprised to find crystal meth inside the one pictured, the agency wrote on social media. So the Houston Police Department was notified, and they arrived, tested the substance concealed in the food, and determined it was crystal meth. And I'm sure they went ahead and arrested the person that was carrying it. As a matter of fact, they said that they arrested the passenger who has not been identified. So like I said, TSO, I know they get a lot of flack for all the things they have to do at the airport security, but in this particular case, they actually managed to find a crystal meth in port.
Wow. That is crazy. You really thought you were going to get that off?
They thought they were going to get away with just, like, nobody was going to notice crystal meth in the burrito. They thought they were going to get away with the burrito in the crystal meth.
Not smart, but then again, you know, when you're trying to do stupid things, when do you really think? You know, in fact, I got a story for you, man. It's right down there in your state.
Well, what's
now,
up?
Look, if y'all going to get the vaccine, man, make sure, I would just suggest you go to a hospital or something where they're giving out the, you know, a lot of times people go to the drugstore
pharmacy.
And they say, you know, like, but this Walgreens store mistakenly ejected saline instead of the COVID-19 vaccine. So
Wow.
A Walgreens store in North Carolina mistakenly gave people shots of saline instead of a COVID-19 vaccine, the company said. The pharmacy chain insisted that a limited number of people were impacted by the mix-up at a location in Monroe, the Charlotte Observer reported. Those who received saline instead of the COVID-19 shot were contacted to reschedule their appointments as soon as possible, the company assured. These patients will later receive their second dose within the appropriate time frame, the statement said. Now, Lisa Strong says she and her husband were among the people who received the wrong injection on March 20th at the store, news station WRAL reported.
Mm-hmm.
They called us and told us we needed to come back the next day that there had been a mix-up with our shot, she told the outlet. Strong says she was told that the pharmacist had forgotten to mix the Pfizer vaccine and they only received saline. The employee told her that it was only when the store had too much vaccine left over at the end of the day that they realized the mistake. I just thought it was important that people know, just be careful, Strong told WRAL, you know, check behind them. Walgreens says it's investigating the incident and have taken immediate steps to review our procedures with the location to prevent this from occurring again. Ooh, man.
Yeah, well, like I said, and I was thinking about, and it seems like it might be harder to get your appointment from the pharmacy. Now, with this story, that may change, but it might be harder to get your appointment from the pharmacy than the actual hospital. Because like I told you before, I've been a little bit behind in that, and I was getting ready to set my appointment, and I went to the drugstore appointment, and the only one I could get this week was on a bad day for me schedule-wise, and several of the pharmacies were booked up totally. So like I said, I know a couple times I went, and they were like, booked up, booked up, booked up. I was like, whoa, everybody is going to get this vaccine. So that's a good thing that folks are actually pursuing it, and I plan to be among them as well. But I know a friend of mine sent me a link to Duke and their clinic, because I do agree the clinic is probably the safer bet, because they'll also be ready to protect you should anything go wrong, like a clot or anything else along those lines. So definitely I agree that the safer way is to actually do it the more effective way, like a hospital or a clinic or something like that.
Yeah,
not knocking the drugstores, because they do have pharmacies in a lot of our drugstores, but, you know, we don't know what they're putting in. It could be saline, could be a placebo, it could be a number of other things that are going on in that regard. I don't know about you, but I'm about tired of these tragedies that are happening with our guns, because we had another incident up in your neck of the woods yesterday. A 7-year-old girl was shot dead and her father injured as they sat in a car at a McDonald's drive-thru. So they're investigating the crime scene where Jonte Adams, 28, and his daughter, Jocelyn, 70, were shot at a McDonald's drive-thru. So definitely, I don't know what the reason for the shooting was, and it might have just been random shots, but they definitely said that she passed away, and they were just inside their car outside the fast food restaurant in the city's Holmont Square neighborhood when two gunmen opened fire on them, according to the Chicago Sun-Times and all of that. So she was taken to the Stroger Hospital, but she couldn't be saved, and the father was hit in the torso and hospitalized in this stable condition. So I'm always shocked when you hear stories like this that are going on in that regard, where folks are just like, you know, people are getting crazy with these guns and all of that. So like I said, it was in Chicago that this incident happened. I think I might have said New York earlier, but it was actually Chicago. But definitely, it's just sad, particularly a young 7-year-old. I mean, she probably had so much of her life left ahead of her and so many of those dreams that have now been shattered because of this random gun violence.
Yeah, we got to, it has to be stiffer penalties for such occurrences like this, because, you know, it's easy to say, well, we'll limit the number of weapons, what type of weapons, but no criminal is really listening to you. You know what I mean? Like, criminals don't wake up and say, you know what, man, it's a limit to the amount of ammunition and the type of ammunition we can have. Nah, they're saying, let's get all we can get. I'm trying to have a small arsenal here, so even if I turn one of my bedrooms into a whole huge gun rack, if I got enough weapons to take care of what I need to do, then I'm good. It's the public citizens that obey the laws and abide by the rules and regulations set forth by the respective states that are going to suffer from this quote-unquote gun control. Nobody is looking for those assault-type weapons and all of that stuff when you are a law-abiding citizen that goes to work every day. You know, it's the individuals, gun enthusiasts, yeah, they're looking for them. They will buy them, too. Some of them buy them legally. Some of them get them illegally. But, you know, when you see pictures of dudes who, they're like, yo, I got this rocket launcher. Okay, you didn't buy that at any store. You know what I'm saying? There's no store that's going to sell you this rocket launcher. So how'd you get it? You know, and there has to be stricter penalties. So if you did a drive-by in a neighborhood or you went to the store and started randomly shooting folks, then you know what? Like I said before, this is, let's give you that third world country treatment. So you shot this guy in the head and in the torso. We're going to shoot you in the head and the torso because you fought for that. It's an eye for eye. And after I make an example out of you, not too many people are going to come rush to your aid. You know?
Yeah, I've heard some people that have definitely been preaching that. I know there's a gentleman on the international broadcast media who's out of New Zealand, and he's definitely of your opinion. He's basically one of those people that's been encouraging and saying that we might just need to take out all the criminals in terms of, like, just the way he's talking. It's even harsher than you, Dean. I think he was ready to, like, just take them all out if they were, like, in that criminal element. I actually think that there is some possibilities of rehabilitation. I know that you've worked in the prison system. I'm sure you've even seen examples of rehabilitation, but I don't know why Rakesh is the way he is, but he definitely, I've heard some answers lately where he's been a lot harsher and not necessarily trying to hear anything about any sort of rehabilitation. I sound like he's just ready. If you do the crime, you might need to just be eliminated, according to some of the things that I've heard from him and everything.
I can't be mad at that, because you know what? The new cop-out is mental illness. So now, if I go outside and I bash all the windows out of my car and start screaming at the top of my lungs, if I say I'm mentally ill, then they would have some mercy on me. You know what I mean? Like, people are doing some real heinous stuff, and then it's like, well, he's mentally ill. All right. So is he mentally ill or mentally ill for the moment? Because, you know, he was all right. Like, you listen to the family, they'll tell you, like, some of them will say, well, he's had problems for years. Okay, then that's y'all's fault. Because y'all never, did y'all, like, put him in counseling, get him on medication? Nothing? Oh, okay. So y'all just ran and hid from him. So years went by and the wilder he got or she got. Or they just didn't, like, I'm not getting into that. He's crazy, you know, and, you know, families, especially black families, you know, they say, he ain't rap too tight. Oh, he rap very tight. He hold intelligent conversation with you and everything, but when he gets mad, he goes over the top because nobody has put him in his place, you know. Or you go and do something real, real crazy, and now you're afraid to go to prison, so you say, oh, my God, I'm mentally ill, you know. And the new thing is, male inmates that say they identify as females get a chance to go to the women's prison. And I'm like, what in the world is happening here? Because if I'm
going to my,
listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying it one more time. Especially, and if anybody's listening, I'll say it again so that y'all can clearly understand what I'm saying. In some states, male offenders can say, I identify as female, and be transferred to a women's prison to serve the remainder of their time. So now this has really gotten out of hand, because I was just thinking, if I were in prison and I'm tired of being around these dudes all day, and I go and say, you know what, I feel like a woman, they'll transfer me to a women's prison. Oh, man. I'm going to have me a lot of fun. You know what I mean? I'm locked up, but I'm locked up with women now. And as long as we don't get caught or nobody comes up pregnant, I can play this role. I'm a manipulator. That's what I do. If I can convince you that the sky is actually green, but because of the pollen in the air, it turns it to blue. You know, like some people actually believe some of the stuff that some of these folks put out there.
Wow.
But yeah, they get to do that time in a women's prison. So now, dude walking around with a whole different type of equipment down there, and he's serving his time with the women.
That's just crazy. Where they letting them get away with that? That's just, I'm trying to think right. how do you pull that off and even get away with it? But like I said, because at some point they're gonna be like, you are not a lady, and you just need to back off.
Yeah, dudes will be like, yo, I'm tired of switching. I'm tired of talking with a lisp and acting all feminine. Like, this representative got to go now. Hold up. How many of these women been without a man for the last however many years? Let me go over here and do this right here. You know what I'm saying? So they have to be real careful. And they're not put into a segregated unit or anything like that. They get to come out with everybody else. Real interesting.
So they get to come out, and wow. And like you said, the women are sitting there, they've been trying to find somebody that they could get with forever, and now you bringing in some guys. It, you know, they ain't like, not like they got anything cut off, so they still got their stuff, and they
right.
can basically go ahead and do what they're going to do, even though they're serving time. I mean, they probably have to play that certain acting role and everything and pretend like they on the women's side every once in a while in the women's prison. But, you know, when they get their moment with the ladies that they're serving time with, and I'm sure if the guards decide to look the other way, there might be some serious consequences, including some pregnancies that come out of that situation.
Yeah, and then what, you're going to really have a problem.
Oh, yeah. Really, then you got to deal with the care of the baby and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's just going to be real deep. I don't know how you can get away with that one, like I said, but there's all kinds of interesting things that can go on.
Oh, yeah. But they say it's always a workaround or something.
It's always what?
A workaround. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, like, people sit there and they think of stuff and then they try it and it works. They gonna spread the word, man. So now you got all these dudes talk about I feel like a woman and going to these. I'm like, come on, this is getting too. It's a lot, man. It's a lot.
That's a whole lot.
A whole lot.
That's just too much to be dealing with.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It looks like, I'm just flipping through articles. Black Lives Matter. This is what the headline says. Black Lives Matter protesters rally for victim. Leave after learning he was white. Wow.
Wait a minute. He left after he learned? He left after he learned that he was white? So he didn't know he was white the whole time?
No. Listen. Black Lives Matter protesters rally for victim. They leave after learning that he was white. So
I'm learning
black,
that the,
the,
okay.
the victim, I guess they went to the aid of the victim, found out he was white, and they're like, all right, we out, you know. We won't be doing this today. So they said,
we're not going to do this whatsoever.
Not at all. It says Black Lives Matter protesters in Minnesota dropped to a knee and set off to march over a fatal police shooting, only to return when they learned it was a white carjacker who had fired at police.
Wow.
Dozens of people protested outside Governor Tim Walz's mansion in St. Paul on Sunday, were filmed by Fox 9 reporter Mitty Hicks as they knelt for a moment of silence over initial rumors about Sunday's 3 p.m. fatal shooting. Protesters kneel after hearing there was an officer-involved shooting in Burnsville moments ago. Hicks tweeted of the wild, caught-on-camera, armed carjacking in the suburbs. This information has not been confirmed, but this group says they're heading there, Hicks said. The man who was killed is believed to be a white man in his 20s who had stolen a car from a woman at gunpoint, then repeatedly shot at cops as they chased him. Now, traffic camera footage shared by KRE11 showed the suspect leaping out of the still-moving stolen car, then running into the road and seemingly pointing his gun at approaching SUV before he was shot by multiple pursuing officers. The Black Lives Matter marchers, riled by the local police-involved deaths of George Floyd and Dante Wright, soon appeared to get word that the latest shooting was not one fit for protest. The protesters turned back and instead headed to Brooklyn Center, the city where Wright died, because they need more information about what had happened in Burnsville first. Word of their planned protest after a rush to judgment quickly had the protesters ripped online. And so one of the comments said, "For armed carjacker, are people this stupid?" One person replied to Hicks's video, while Amanda Felsky said that the group planned to just immediately loot a riot without getting the facts. And it goes back to, you know, if you are an influencer, you can get them to do almost anything they want.
Yep, totally.
Crazy.
That is totally crazy.
Now they go over there. They said, look, they get ready to go raise some cane. Find out Buddy was white and left. Dang. Wow.
So they just up and left.
Oh, yeah. They went over there to find out what was going on. And when they looked, they were like, nah, it's already here.
That's just crazy. And folks are trying to figure out what's going on in the world. It's going on in the world, because the world is just kind of like losing its mind left and right. Well, what do you think about the fact that we're going up into Mars and apparently we've done landed something up there, and I'm trying to figure out, we got enough problems down here on Earth. What do we need to land something in Mars for? But apparently we've landed something around Mars or near Mars, or something's going on in Mars. So what are your thoughts about space travel, and should we actually get our act together here in the good old globe that we're on, the world that we live on?
You said, should we get our act together? Or
yes.
Well, you know what? I saw something on the news about Mars the other day, and I think I said something about it last week when they said the temperature at night drops to like -130, right?
All right.
So that's like maybe, what, if you do the multiplication, that's what, 50 times below freezing? Oh,
something
hell.
Like that.
You know, like, oh, no, I'll pass. You know what I mean? Like, now you're trying to fly a drone or something or whatever you have over there. Okay. But I didn't see any water yet. Any pictures that they have of Mars. So how are you going to fly this plane? I know that the climate has to be horrible. Cold, too cold, or too hot, or, you know, no water, no trees, no nothing. Just land. I don't know.
Land and temperatures that nobody can live in, unless you've got some sort of crazy outfit that's going to help you land in the temperature. So the temperature is going to be like some insane temperature that nobody can cope with.
Yeah. Burn up, freeze. Somebody's going to go try to go over there to watch.
Oh, no, people are trying. I know that, Dan, I'm hoping that I can get her on our show one of these times. But there was a woman that went to Duke, and Laurel the Astronaut is what she went by. And I know that she was one of those people that was applying for the job to be one of those Mars astronauts. And I even think I asked her that question when I met her at a business conference that my friend Jess was doing. So one of those, like, business develop entrepreneurship idea conferences that she spoke at. This may be 5 or 6 years ago, but yeah, she was of the opinion that, you know, I think I even asked her about, you know, the fact that that could be a one-way trip, but I think she was going to just leave it in the hands of the man above and hope that she made it there and back. And, of course, there was some strenuous training, so I don't know if she made it. And, you know, she might have even aged out, because I'm sure there's some age restrictions as well. But, like I said, that was one of her dreams, was to go there to Mars. And, like I said, I know I reached out to her one time to be on the show, and I might have to reach back out to her, because I think she had gone and got her second training at Cambridge, because I know she went and got undergraduate at Duke, and I think she might have gone over to England and Cambridge to get her next training. But, and like I said, she might have found love in England or love back here in the States, and, you know, other half might have told her that that's okay, we ain't trying to have you gone on a one-way trip or whatever, because I want to say at the time that she was exercising this possibility, she was, you know, living the life of the single and carefree. But, you know, that was several years back, so life journey could have taken her somewhere else, and those she might have partners and other people in her life that might be like, nah, that's all right.
The voice of reason, like, if you're going to go over there and dust yourself off, go ahead and sign this thing so we can get whatever you have or whatever's left over after you don't come back.
Yeah, because like I said, it looks good in the movies. It looks good in theory, but I don't know that I'm trying to go to someplace like Mars or Venus or Pluto, because as you just said, most of those places, when you study the temperatures, they are totally different than what we expect they might be, and they usually are very non-human compatible. Like I said, maybe
right.
If you got some sort of special abilities, and, like, you know, maybe they've put on you, what's that, the whole thing with evolution, maybe they've developed some sort of skin or armor that can deal with temperatures much greater than ours can. But I know that the human body, or I would even argue most animal life that we have here, if they go up there, they're going to be totally burnt to crisp if they get up there. Because even like the whales and the dolphins and whatever plants we've got around the universe, they're not going to last up there either, because that's even hotter than the hottest places we got on Earth. So even if a plant like a cactus grows in the desert, it's not growing there.
No, not at all. And our bodies won't be able to take that heat or that extreme cold. Like, you can say what you want, but we are not made to be over there trying to live on some other stuff.
Nah, not in the least bit. We definitely, that's not in our DNA. It's not in our plans. It's not even supposed to be something we should be thinking about, in my opinion. But what do I know? I'm just one person here in Durham, and I'm sure that other folks might have other answers. But I just don't see it happening anytime. But we spend tons of money on space exploration. So I just think that there's too many problems in the world, like the fact that we got child poverty, that need to be solved here before we spend too much on exploration. I'm not saying not to explore, but I think we can at least cut down some of that exploration money and solve a lot of the existing problems, including the infrastructure things that are going on, whether that's the transportation, whether that's the bridges, or whether that's some of our offices that need renovations as well. But definitely, there's just a lot of things that we can improve here on this planet and everything. I was glad to see that not only is Biden tackling coronavirus, and in my mind, he is doing a good job with that, but it looks like he is looking to tackle an issue that we haven't tackled in a while, and we haven't found a cure for. I mean, we found ways that people can live with it, but it looks like he's also putting in a whole bunch of money to try and finally put an end to the AIDS epidemic as well. So he's actually looking like he's trying to put some money into that to find an actual cure, and not like some extended life treatments that give you a good quality of life while you're fighting it, but there's nowhere near a cure. So it does sound like he's looking into some cure things that he wants to fund as well.
Wow. But we still have homelessness. We still have people addicted to substances. One day they're going to get it right.
They're going to get it right one of these days. And
one day.
I did want to give a shout out of a sad news, because I just saw this earlier. I did not even realize this, but Scottie Pippen's son had passed away as well. So, like I said,
wow.
You know, he's a basketball legend. But Scottie Pippen revealed on Monday that his family is going through a difficult time as his firstborn son has died. Pippen said in an Instagram post that his son, Antron Pippen, died on Sunday. While Scottie did not reveal the cause of the death, he did mention that Antron had suffered from chronic asthma. So more than likely it might have been related to the asthma and all of that, because I do know asthma can be a fatal disease as well. So definitely he was letting folks know what was going on in his life. So he says, I'm heartbroken to share that yesterday I said goodbye to my firstborn son, Antron. The two of us shared a love for basketball, and we had countless conversations about the game. Antron suffered from chronic asthma, and if he hadn't had it, I truly believe he would have made it to the NBA. He never let that get him down, though. Antron stayed positive and worked hard, and I am so proud of the man that he became. Please keep his mom, Karen, and all his family and friends in your thoughts and prayers. A kind heart and beautiful soul gone way too soon. I love you, son. Rest easy until we meet again. And apparently he was 33 years old.
Wow. That's got to be hard. You know, you never.
Oh, you know it's got to be hard.
As a parent, you never figure you outlive your children, you know?
Right.
Dang.
I mean, you never think of that. I mean, much prayers out to him. And I know that you had also mentioned, I think last week or then somebody mentioned to me that we had also lost another one of the rappers recently as well, not just DMX, but it was somebody.
Yeah,
Black Rob, right.
Real name Robert Ross, but yeah, he passed away on Saturday. So in the span of 8 days, hip hop lost two.
Right.
You know, so it's been kind of tough.
Yeah, it's been a tough time in the hip hop area and all of that. That's interesting. I'm talking on a different topic and everything, but apparently Shaq, who is not exactly not getting paid cheap amount of money, but he has recently come out and admits that he is jealous of the current NBA salary. So apparently Shaquille O'Neal's recent criticism of NBA salaries has been interpreted by some as jealousy on his part. In a recent interview, Shaq admitted they're right. Appearing on the Rex Chapman Show, Shaq made it clear that apparently he's not really feeling some of these kind of monies that some of our folks are making and all of that. So Shaq has said, wait a minute, maybe he felt that he should have been making some of that money as well. So it looks like Shaq is definitely not feeling it, everything. He says that made clear that he was happy for modern players, but he is simply assessing it from the financial expectations of his own era. He said, I'm jealous, but I'm happy for them, Shaq said via Alex Kennedy of Basketball News. I'm jealous because I always thought that you had to have Michael Jordan suburb-type numbers to get that type of money. That's what it was in my era, but I'm happy for the kids. Shaq has used Utah's Rudy Gobert, who signed a 5-year, $205 million contract extension with the Jazz in December, as an example of what he sees as a shockingly high salary. He clarified that he does so because of Gobert's skill set. Rudy Gobert is not the average type big guy NBA player anymore. The average big they're looking for now is a guy that can pick and pop and do whatever. Rudy Gobert is big, tall, plays hard, plays great defense, a defensive player of the year, and he's making $200 million. I think there's a lot of big guys, even today, that can do the things that he can do. When I tell the story, people think, oh, you're jealous. Yeah, I'm jealous that he's making $250 million. Yeah, I'll say I'm jealous. However, this game of ours, it can motivate a young kid today. Shaq hasn't always gotten along with Utah Jazz players, so there's other angles to look at his Gobert remarks. Still, props to him for at least admitting that he'd have loved to make the kind of money today's players are earning. So, yes, even though he made some pretty good money and he's actually living off of that money and everything, even he would like to do better. So it's interesting, and I think the same probably can be said of entertainers that are probably seeing some of these entertainers' salaries and thinking that, you know, they should have been making that kind of money back in their day. I'm wondering, like, what Pam Grier thinks about, like, what Holly money is like when she was having her kind of career back in her era, and the same with, like, Diane Carroll and others like that. So I'm thinking some of the old stars of the 70s and 80s are probably like that same way with their folks from this decade.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you can't get mad. You just were not born in an era where they give away money as freely as they do now.
Right? Exactly.
So sometimes you just got to chalk it up to that's how the game is. I mean, what are you going to do if you're that dude sitting at home? You know, you go to the basketball court and you're one of the hottest guys out there. You know, you can sink a shot from anywhere. You can play inside. You can rebound. You can steal. But in your heart's telling you something different. You know.
True that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what can you say about that?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to get mad at them, though. Like, hell, it's dudes that are in, I would call it rap, because they're not hip-hop. But at the same time, they're making a lot of money off of noise now. You know, like,
right.
No, not too many people dare to put out product that, you know, everybody was putting out that music that you want to take 15, 20, 25, 30 years from now, put it on and get that reaction from those who lived during that time when you first put it out, you know. But now these guys are just making stuff for the moment. So 20 years from now, are you going to really be listening to, you know, Lil Yachty or whoever it may be, with all everybody's little now, you know, and all this other stuff? No. So what's that going to look like an old school hip-hop party? It's still going to have, you know, some Rakim, some KRS-One, Coogee Rap, the Juice Crew, you know. You're going to have those. But these new artists, you might be able to put Drake and Rick Ross in that category. They're not new anymore, but, you know, they were the ones that looked like, all right, you know. So.
Exactly. They're the ones that are doing all of that, and the folks will be like, hey, what's going on with that? And we try to figure out the whole purpose of this madness and that madness and everything. What are some of the things that you think that you'll be looking for in this next week as we get ready for another week of exciting news? And, of course, I know a lot of people were excited about this past week because they got an extra month to get their taxes together because, you know, usually it would be April 15th, which would have been about 4 days ago and everything.
4 days
but
ago.
But now it's May that they've got this extension. So you got till, I forget the date in May. I think it's like around
May
20th 17th. Or something like that.
It's,
May 17th. So you got to.
Trust me, I know because I'm one of them people.
You
know why? Because once that tax structure changed, man, it hit a lot of people, and I was one of those people that it hit. So I'm not really in a rush, and the more I think about it, we've gotten played for a number of years because you work, they take the taxes out of your check, right? So whatever your gross is going to be way different from whatever you take home. And then at the beginning of a new year, they said, okay, well, we need to see how much money you made, and we're going to tax you on that. I'm being taxed twice. Dang, man. Like, if you want to tax me, let me keep my whole check for the year. And then you tell me how much I owe at the end. And then we'll settle up whether I got to do a payment plan or whatever. But come on, man. We get
yeah,
taxed twice.
getting taxed twice, and definitely sometimes you've got to deal with that, getting taxed twice and trying to figure out how to cope with getting taxed twice. And then, of course, there's a whole conversation around Social Security and what we're going to do with Social Security or not do with Social Security, as the case may be. So definitely there's a lot of that conversation going on as well, because a lot of people are trying to figure out the whole Social Security madness as well. So like I said, go ahead.
No, I was just getting ready to say, and then when you ask where the money's going, everybody gets silent.
Oh, yeah. Everybody gets silent whenever you ask where the money's going. But, you know, I'm loving a lot of these programs that Biden's putting together. But, you know, I'm hearing a lot of numbers with a whole lot of zeros behind them. And I'm sometimes trying to figure out where are all these zeros coming from. Like I said, I know we are able to manufacture money, but you still got to have it go somewhere after it's manufactured and everything. And we're still in all kinds of debt within not just this country, but around the world. So I'm sitting there going like, not just us, but even the other parts of the globe as well. I'm loving a lot of these initiatives and programs. But then at the same time, when you hear all those zeros, you're going like, and how are we paying for this again?
Yeah.
Because that becomes the big question, is how does all of this happen? And somebody's, there's got to be, what's that old saying, you know, you got to pay the piper at some point or another. So it's a matter of who's the piper and when does the piper get paid.
And how much are they going to get paid? And what's the return on my investment? You know what I mean? Oh, you patched up a pothole. Woohoo! And I'm supposed to be excited about that one thing? Come on, man.
Yeah. You're supposed to be jumping up and down because they fixed that one pothole that they should have fixed ages ago and all of that. But, you know, I'm still trying to figure out, because there are some parts even around Durham and Raleigh and around North Carolina, and definitely, and I know in Virginia as well, that you're sitting there going, like, how did these places get this bad in the first place? Because as you drive over them, or if you got buses that go over them, if you're doing like I do, the mass transit, you're like, this is not an issue that just happened overnight. This is stuff that's been going on forever, and y'all didn't find a solution. I mean, our case in point is one of our malls in Raleigh is built in a flood zone. Everybody knows it's built in a flood zone, so then they don't wonder why it floods just about every time that a flood happens. I think the joke that I heard was that the man that originally built it knew he was building it on a flood zone, and literally, I think he built his house, and he's long gone, but I think he built his house above the flood zone, so he literally could watch it when it flooded.
Oh, my goodness. You got to be kidding me.
No, that's the rumor I heard, was that he literally built his house, and I think I said they've done some expansion, and the house is long gone. But I had heard the rumor that I had always heard was that he built the house above the flood zone and could literally just watch it whenever that happened. But, yes, it was built on a serious flood zone and all of that. But definitely, that's just one of those things that goes on, and you got to wonder, don't people think about this? And look, and with the roads, I mean, if you know, if you get one crack, I'm sure the same goes on in New Jersey. If you get one crack, then and that crack becomes a bigger crack, and that crack becomes a bigger crack. At some point, your road people need to be like, "Hey, let's fix this crack," and not let it become like a whole mega earthquake kind of crack and everything. But you know, I think that after you get, I get it. Maybe that first crack, you don't try to repair it because then there's wear and tear. Roads have wear and tear, just like humans got wear and tear. But after it starts cracking three or four times, it might be time to get it examined.
Yeah. In fact, when it cracks the first time, you might want to get it examined.
Yep.
So now you got a natural disaster every time it rains.
But folks don't be thinking about that. They're like, oh, we'll get to it when we get to it. I mean, that's unfortunately the attitude in a lot of business, that we'll get to it when we get to it. And then that just causes all kinds of other nightmares as well, when you're thinking that you're going to get to it and you're going to get to it, and then you never get to it, and it winds up being a raw disaster.
Right. Because nothing is ever on schedule.
No.
Never. I don't care if you try to plan it out for months. That day is going to come, and it's going to just be upside down and backwards.
That is very true. Upside down, backwards, sideways, and all of that stuff. And you'd be sitting there going like, what happened?
Yeah, how did we get here? That's
how do we get from point A to point? How do we get from point A to point B? And supposed to be trying to figure that. Now, I will say, I can't say nothing is ever not built fast, like, because there is a hotel around here. It's actually a Marriott property. AC is the name of it, AC Hotel, I think, or something like that. And that thing, even during the pandemic, has come up pretty fast, because when I went for that walk, I walked by it, and like I said, it looks like the front door is ready to have the grand opening any minute. So they put that thing up pretty fast. So there are some constructions that can't get done relatively quickly. So I won't say not all of them, but there are some that can get done much quicker than we think they can get done. So like I said, I've been real impressed with the way that this particular hotel has been popping up and is, like I said, it looks like, as far as I can, because I don't know what the room side looks like, cause, you know, hotels got to have rooms and kitchens. So the inside might have a lot of work left to do, but the outside is ready to be walked in right now. But like I said, I couldn't really get a good glimpse as to whether all the hotel rooms are in their position, so that might take another month or two. But I know that as far as the entrance, you look like you could walk in there and be ready to go to the front desk right now.
Question is, what is it made out of?
Well, that is always the question, because I remember there was a development near the Haytai Center, which is one of the places I work at, and they've actually built a new development. It's relatively new. I can't say totally new. But I know that when that new development was built, some of the construction workers were telling me what it was built of. And basically what they were saying was that it looks nice, but if a good hard wind comes through, we might be back again. I'll just put it that way. So like I said, they were saying that it was not built of the most solid material in the world is basically what they were implying. So I do know that sometimes we put up those fab houses, and we also put up fab offices and fab rental buildings and all kinds of fab things. And sometimes that fab don't stand for fabulous. It stands for the way that they're constructed. So like I said, those fab houses might not be all that fabulous, depending on, as if you put it, if they're constructed in the wrong way.
Lord have mercy. So that's all I can say, because, you know, like I know, when storms come through there, man, the storms are not playing with anybody. So now you took shelter in a building that's basically made of paper mache. Oh.
Basically.
And they get charged to stay there.
And then do what?
Then you're going to pay per night to stay there?
Yeah, exactly.
Rip off.
Total ripoff.
You know what, I used to work night audit, though. I'll tell you, when you look at the numbers, people never really pay attention to that sign like this on the back of the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they changed them now, but what they used to have is the room rate, the actual cost per night.
Right.
So when I work night audit at the hotel where I work for, the room was worth about $15 a night. But you had already put your deposit down and you paid for two nights at $109 a night. Man, look at how much money they're making.
Oh, yeah.
You know? That's ridiculous. That's why they don't argue with you when you come with discounts.
Oh, no.
They already know. They still going to make money off of you regardless.
Totally gonna make money off of you.
So what do? You know, you can't go in there and say, "Hey, look, I see the sign on your door says your room is worth, or to maintain this room is $15 a night." So, see, somebody like me, I'd be like, "I tell you what, I'm gonna clean my own room,
right?
And let me stay here free for a couple of nights." Just leave out the cleaning supplies. That's crazy, man.
It's totally crazy. It makes no sense whatsoever. Folks be like wondering why that be going on and what's happening in that regard or another. It makes absolutely no sense. So like I said, I can't figure it out, and I'm sure others can't figure it out as well. So they'd be sitting there going like, "I don't get it." just amazing the things that folks be thinking about and thinking that they're going to, like, not have to deal with. But unfortunately, that's just what goes on in our world here. So what's going on with the music group? I know that you got a lot going on. I haven't talked tonight, but I'm thinking that y'all got some new sounds going out. I'm thinking maybe Rhapsody's got some new stuff going on. I know the Carolina Theater next month is going to be celebrating their kind of getting people back into the grounds and all of that. But in the celebration, we reached out to some performers. I think Jasmine will be performing. Pierce has sent a video, so he'll be part of it in May 26th. We actually got to do some recording, not this week, but next week. And all, but I was just wondering what's going on in the Ninth Wonder family. Dean? Dean?
I'm here. This man, can you hear me now?
I hear you now.
Okay. This is weird because it just cut me off like, yo, shut up. But, I know Crisis, that's part of the Soul Council, has a new album, and I can't think of the name of it right now. But I know he had Crisis on the Boards, Volume 2, and he's also done a few beats. I know he did one for Conway the Machine, that's part of the Griselda clique. But the name of the song is Jesus Crisis. So, you know, they're getting it in. Heather Victoria has done a couple of shows down there in North Carolina, live shows. So, you know, like, I'm still moving on, still pressing on. As stuff comes out, you know, I'll be promoting it out, though. That's what we do.
We know we're going to get the promotions. We got to get those promotions going. As a matter of fact, I might even have you play a little bit of one now because I think I had somebody I was hoping was going to pop on, but I had not totally confirmed it. But I'm going to do better next week, so we're going to have a full conversation going on. But definitely might have you put on some of that music, and then we might come on and talk about a little bit of news items as well. And maybe we'll even do an abbreviated version because I don't mind abbreviated versions every now and then and all of that. But, yeah, maybe we can put on a little bit of the cuts and all, and then maybe me and you will come and chit-chat for a few more minutes after we hear maybe from Heather Victoria. I haven't heard from Heather in a while. I'd love to hear some Heather Victoria if we've got any in the kitty.
I'm trying to look in here. The only thing, because you know I don't have anything with words in it.
Right.
You know, all of this stuff is instrumental. I do have that one single. I'm trying to find it now. The Japan single, but it's just the music. It's not her. It's not the vocals. I'm trying to find it. So as soon as I find it, I'm getting closer. I got away. No, that's in alphabetical order, and I can't read. let's type it in the search.
The search engine always works.
Yeah, so I do have the Japan instrumental. So we'll rock that out, and then we'll be back. Give us about five good minutes.
All right, that'll work.
All right.
right then. That sounded like some good music. I was actually grooving to that and everything. By the way, apparently Kamala Harris was in North Carolina today as she was promoting President Joe Biden's $2 trillion jobs and infrastructure plan. So they were saying that the combination of spending and tax credits in the American job plan would translate into 20,000 miles of rebuilt roads and bridges, higher wages, better internet service, cleaner drinking water, and a long list of other projects intended to create millions of jobs in the short run and strengthen U.S. competitiveness in the long run, according to the White House. The plan also would accelerate the fight against climate change by hastening the shift to newer, cleaner energy sources and would help promote racial equality in the economy, according to what officials said. So she also said the American Jobs Plan is not just about fixing what it has been, it's about building what can be. And she said that during a visit to Guilford Tech Community College, because apparently the plan is saying some really good things about community colleges. And I'm actually a fan of community colleges, even though I went to a four-year. I've got friends that have taught in community college. So she said she called the proposal, which would be paid for through higher corporate taxes, a once-in-a-lifetime effort to create good jobs for every worker everywhere. It's pretty simple. A good job allows people the freedom to build the life you want, to reach as high as you want to aspire. A chunk of the spending proposed in the plan would go to community colleges and job training programs to help people obtain the needed skills beyond a high school education to obtain jobs in growing fields where they can succeed. We can't just think about higher education without thinking about what kind of training Americans need to get hired. There isn't only one path to success. So I would definitely agree with that and everything, because I definitely think that we got to look into a lot of things, including community colleges and training schools, because I think we've in the past gotten away from that. So I'm glad to see that they've incorporated some of that as well, even though, you know, the Republicans weren't going to be happy. So the North Carolina Republican Chairman Michael Wadley compared the infrastructure plan to a Trojan horse. So he was saying that, you know, that it might be all golden, but it's got some problems in it as well, just like the Trojan horse does and all of that. So, you know, he wasn't going to be happy. He's going to be the opposite side and all of that. So, and they did tour some people that are doing electric buses. So apparently they toured Thomas Built Buses, or she did, with some of her aides and everything, which is building electric buses that will be a part of the effort to combat climate change. So what are your thoughts about community colleges and also electric buses?
Well, let's start with the electric buses first. I guess for me, I've read a couple of articles where, you know, you got to keep charging them things up, man. Like, without a charge, you're not going anywhere. So is it doing any good, or, you know, for the environment? Yeah, they're going to say, all right, well, it's not as much pollution or whatnot. But if I got to keep charging my car, you know what? Just let me get a tank of gas, man, and I'm going to make it do what it does. You know what I mean? I don't want to be stuck somewhere because I can't find a charging station, or, you know, what happens when you take those vehicles home? Do you get a charging station that you have to pay for, or what?
Well,
you know, if I charge it into my house, then it's running up my electric bill.
Yep. Well, of course, it's all going to be a moot point once, you know, those of us that don't drive like myself, we get those driverless cars and, you know, you just jump in the car and it takes you where you want to go. Because apparently, according to some commercials I've seen, that's around the corner. So apparently we're about to have the driverless cars where, you know, I'll just jump in the car and I'll, like, you know, say, I want to go visit Dean and his wife and everything, and it'll take me right to y'all's front door and everything. Of course, I would call in advance because, you know, I'm not trying to come in unexpectedly and everything, but definitely, apparently those driverless cars where I can call in, where I can just jump in the car and it takes me where I want to go, is around the corner.
But what happens if that thing malfunctions, man?
Oh, boy.
That's like people talk about flying cars, right? So, All right. They're like, all right, you're going to be able to fly in the car. I'm like, most of y'all can't stay in the lanes on the ground, so now you're going to be in the sky. Oh, this might be all kinds of bad.
It could be all kinds of bad. That is true. It could be all kinds of bad. I could tell it that I wanted to go see Dean, and it takes me to Dean Mimager's house, who is a former basketball player and everything. And I'm like, no, that's not the Dean I wanted to go to.
Right, you go in the wrong direction. You're like, yo, turn around. It's like, no. You said go here, so we're going to go there, and then we'll go where you want to go. Oh.
Yeah, it could be some interesting nightmares in that sense, that you could be going all kinds of places that you're not expecting to go, including, like, you know, it could literally take you to, like, exes' houses, and you definitely don't want to go there, so it could have all kinds of problems. Yeah,
and
so you asked about
you also asked about the community colleges,
trade schools,
they need all of those, because trades get paid, man.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't teach it like they used to. Back in school, those who didn't want to do the educational track did the vocational track.
Yeah, I remember that.
Shop,
we had that in Warrington.
Right, auto shop, electrical, all those different things, man. So now they don't have it because they're trying to just push that one thing. But had I learned to do that electrical work, or cut hair, or whatever it may be, man, when people were losing jobs before the pandemic, remember that one time, it seemed like folks were just losing jobs left and right, man.
Oh, yeah,
but
totally.
If you got a trade, if you got a trade to fall back on, then that's not your problem. You know what I'm saying? Because you could say, all right, well, you know what? People can always need some electrical work done, or plumbing, or carpentry, and
mm-hmm.
If you're able to do all of those things, you can make a lot of money.
You can make a lot of money, and you won't be in a lot of debt, because I was actually watching a documentary recently about the kids that are now, so I guess that's Gen Z and the millennials, and they were talking about, I thought the debt we had was crazy, but the debt they're getting to have is even crazier. So we're talking about that one lady, she's looked like she was a single mom of one daughter, and, you know, she's trying to save her nest egg now for that daughter to go to college. But it sounds like she is going to be in debt for, the way she was talking, maybe 30 or 40 years, because it was in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, and that was off of loans and grants and things along those lines. So, like I said, you know, we had the Pell and a lot of other grants, and we were crying about that. But apparently these debts of these college kids in the 21st century makes ours pale in comparison.
You ain't lying, because tuition at Virginia State was $3,000 for the year. And we were like, $3,000, man, that's a whole lot of money. You know, like, back then, most of us were broke anyway. So it's like $3,000. But that covered two semesters, $1,500 semester. And we were looking at that like, that's a whole lot of money. So now, fast forward, I remember when we took my son to Lincoln University, and they wanted to have that meeting with the parents. They passed out the paperwork, and I looked at the tuition for the year. I was like, man, I got a whole four-year education and with some money left over, because you figure if you paid for 4 years back then, you spent $12,000, right?
Right.
So the number that was on this paper, this was probably about 6 years ago, and it was like $28,000. So I was like, dang.
$28,000 for the entire 4 years or $28,000?
No. $28,000 for the 1 year. So I'm looking and I'm like, well, dang, man. If, you know, and then somebody said, well, what's wrong? I said, well, I'm going to date myself a little bit, but ours was $3,000 for a year. So you mean to tell me that's 25 more grand going into their pocket? What are they doing with it? Golly.
Exactly. What are they doing with that kind of money? That's just crazy.
I don't know, bro, but talk about a come up. Shoot. Like I said, that first year, I would have graduated with a 4-year degree and had $15,000 to put in my savings or, you know, what have you. It's just different now, man.
Oh, it's much different. Speaking of different, and I know we had the pleasure of having her talk about human trafficking on our show last week and everything, but how did the interview go with Dr. Diamond and our good friend and everything, talking about human trafficking this past week. I was hoping that I was going to get a link on it on the Facebook or whatever, but I didn't see it. But you mean you might have posted it. I just didn't see it. So how did the interview go, and did she reveal anything that she didn't tell us, and how did that whole conversation go?
Yeah, she did an outstanding job. Shout out to Pastor Dr. Gwendolyn Ann Cook. Good presentation, you know what I mean? And it was like a question. I guess they had questions sent in or what have you. But, yeah, I'll send you the link to that. I did post, but I guess you figured out it was Saturday afternoon. So any other post that came behind that pushes it further down. But I'll definitely send you that link so that you can see the you know, what she does, man. She does a lot of work in that human trafficking. And I meant to ask her, but I'll contact her later, like, what do you need from men? You know, because a lot of us are not, we're not, you know, for the young ladies to see that there are real men, not just ones trying to take advantage of them or, you know, trying to do anything immoral with them, that there are some men who genuinely say, hey, look, we'll make sure you're okay. Are you okay? And mean just that. There's nothing hidden behind my statement. There's nothing hidden behind my, you know, the way I move around. So...
No, I definitely agree with you on that. And one of the things that I've seen that has been kind of scary to me is whether it's been helping Eric with his activities with his black business expos, or whether it's been talking to some of the guests we've had on international broadcast media, whether it's talking to with my friend Brian Schulman out of the West Coast and some of the ladies that he has involved in their different projects, like Raquel and some others in the social justice, social work kind of jobs and all of that, is I have thoroughly been shocked, and I mean, I probably shouldn't be, but the amount of women that have gone through some form of abuse, oftentimes within their family, is appalling in my mind, because I can't tell you how many times, and a lot of times these women are very professional and definitely, you know, they don't necessarily show the scars of what they've been through, but you definitely know it has scarred them in one way or another. And I'm just shocked as to how prevalent in society not just trafficking is, but also just the mental abuse, because it's not even so much the physical, even though the physical is there as well, but definitely the mental and emotional abuse of women that is out there. Because I can tell you that in the last, I did both of Eric's Black Business Expos, so one was in November, the other was back in February, March, so we're talking November to now April. In the last 5 to 6 months, I have heard of at least 10 to 15, and people say that's not a lot, but you got to talk about how many people I'm seeing in a day. 10 to 15 out of 30 or 40 is a lot. So like I said, 10 to 15 people that have told me that they have had this kind of experience is shocking to my mind.
Oh, definitely, and rightfully so, you know, rightfully so.
Right. So definitely, I think that we definitely need to pay attention to those ladies in our lives, but also listen to their stories and their horror, because definitely there's a lot of horrors that are out there that are not of their doing. It might be family things that were going on, and families that don't always want to tell the stories, because I know in some cases that's what they told me, was that they had family members, including sometimes the mom or other family members, that knew what was going on, but they didn't want to rock the boat, to use a term and everything. So they definitely did not try to disturb the situation, even though in a lot of cases, some of these cases, the people were very young, so the boat needed to be rocked.
Boat needed to be shot out the sky, man. Like, that's a lot.
Yeah, and I'm sure that you see a lot of that even in the penal system, because I'm sure that a lot of the people that are in that system, I'm sure that some of those inmates, not saying all, because you can't use it as an excuse, and I know you mentioned mental illness can be an excuse, but I am sure that some of those people did come from those kind of broken homes and those abusive homes, and that might have impacted why they did whatever they did.
It could be. But, like, each person.
And some of them just might be And some of them might just be bad people, at least be criminals in the sense of being criminals. They might not have to be doing it because of abuse reasons, and they might not have to be doing it for economic reasons, because I know a lot of times people also say that a lot of crime is done because of the economic sides. You know, if you ain't got no bread and you see the grocery store got bread, then you might decide that you want to lift the bread and all of that. So I get that, but at the same time, right. I don't know that we can put it all on the economics or on the abuse. Those can be factors, and they can be important factors, but I don't know that we can say that they're the only factors.
That's true.
Yeah. And at least we're not in those situations like that gentleman that I told you about last week, and he's still in the news talking about the fact that he served those, I think it was 45 years in prison, and, you know, he's still not happy with the amount of money they gave him. And they gave him a pretty penny, but it still wasn't enough of the penny for what he went through and all of that. So, like I said, I can definitely relate to that. If you went through all of that and you only got those kind of pennies, that doesn't make up for all the things you lost in your life.
Very, very, very true. Very
so,
true.
Dean, do you ever think you're going to write a book about your prison experience after you retire? Because you got 7 years left, so I think you should write a book.
Nope. It's like Vegas, man. What happens there stays there. You know what I mean? I'd rather tell you a story about an individual who I know very well, who's overcome a lot of challenges, you know, diagnosed with a gastrointestinal disorder. As a result of that disorder, had multiple strokes, kidney disease, suffered from migraines for a while, diagnosed diabetic, and how they continue to this day to keep going, like to not allow those things in which are called disabilities to stop you from living, you know? So I would rather write a book on that, because the prison thing, to be honest, most of your days are boring.
Yeah, I can believe that. Most of your days are boring. And you just said something that is the more important message, which is you go through all of that, people give you something that they call a disability or whatever, and the fact is people go through that and get through it is probably a better life lesson than anything that we can think about in terms of prisons and all along those lines. You know, we're also coming up on a major holiday. I actually had the privilege back when we could do events of emceeing it a while back. And, you know, some people, including the person that used to live in 1600, didn't believe in these things. But I do believe in us celebrating the earth and what the earth is all about. So Earth Day is coming up very soon in April. So this is actually, I believe they said, last year was the 50th anniversary of Earth Day, so this will actually be the 51st year. But yes, April 22nd is Earth Day, and we definitely need to do what we can to support the Earth and all that goes on in the Earth and all of that. And so I think that that's one of those great holidays that we should celebrate and all of that. So definitely shout out to the Earth, shout out to Stratus, hopefully make the Earth a better place and to us improving the climate that is here on the Earth with us and everything. So hopefully we're going to do stuff as part of Earth Day 2021 to restore our Earth, because apparently on earthday.org, the theme is Restore Our Earth. So they're saying that between April 20th and the 22nd, they're going to have 3 days of climate action to restore our Earth. So that's what earthday.org is doing. So that is great that that is going on. And I know, even though it's not my thing, but, you know, I don't knock those who think it is, that for those that are into the weed and all of that, that the 20th has got a very major day for them as well. So I know a lot of folks will be out there celebrating. Actually, a friend of mine is doing an event on that day. I think it's a poetry event and another celebration, but they are into the whole cannabis industry and everything. So big shout out to those that want to celebrate 420 as well, because 420 will be coming our way on tomorrow. That's right. Tomorrow, Tuesday, is 420. So for those that are, that is their, one of their holidays that they like celebrating, they can have that celebration on tomorrow, because a lot of people might even be toting up on that day, since I know that those are into that. That is sometimes what they do, but they also will do events. Like I know my friend Tammy is doing a poetry event that's an online event on her page, Just Gilded Cages. So definitely a big shout out to Tammy and the event that she's got going on and all of that. And by the way, you know, speaking of holidays, I have learned that there is a holiday for just about everything. I don't know if you saw what I posted on Facebook a couple of days ago, but I believe it was either Saturday or Friday apparently was, and yes, I'm going to go ahead and use the word, it was apparently National Horny Day, because apparently there's a day for everything, including for high libido. So apparently that was an actual day that was out there and everything. So,
wow.
Yes, apparently that is an actual day that exists in the day of holiday. So, yes, they have that holiday out there. So if you're wondering why your libido was high on whatever that day was, and I can't remember whether it was Friday, Saturday, or Thursday, but that is why, because apparently there's a national day for it. But the ironic thing, and this is what I found funny, was I want to say, now that I think about it, it was actually on, today is the 19th. So today is Monday, 18th was yesterday, which is Sunday. It was on Friday. It was on the 16th. So ironically, on most days or most years, it would come the day after tax day. It seems to me that that would mess with your libido, not help your libido. So I'm sitting there going like, why did they pick day after tax day for that particular day?
Right. I don't know. Maybe to relieve some stress.
Maybe to release the stress, because I'm thinking to my mind, you know, after you do all them numbers, you do all that worrying, you worrying about what the IRS going to do, what's going to happen, whether you're going to get any money. I'm thinking that's the last thing on your mind the day after, because you're frustrated. But that's just me. I was just a little frustrated after dealing with taxes here and there. But it seemed to me that would be the last thing on your mind.
Should be anyway.
Yeah, but like I said, they came up with they come up with a holiday for just about anything. I think that there's probably, you know, National Liquor Day. I'm sure there's even a day for the Baltimore Ravens and all of that. There's probably International Baltimore Ravens Day. And by the way, the Ravens, you will be glad to know, came up in a conversation. I'm trying to remember the nature of, oh, I know what it was. It was when I was talking to Dean's niece and nephew, and we were talking about sports, because apparently he's a diehard Cowboys fan, but one of his friends is a diehard Ravens fan. So I was letting them know that you and that friend would be in the same category, because you are a diehard Ravens fan as well. So I did bring you up to Brian. Brian and Nikhil. Brian is the Dallas Cowboy fan, so I did let them know that there were some Ravens in the house as well, at least in our circle of listeners and associates and things of that nature. So they were glad to know that they had, the Raven people were glad to know they had a Raven supporter in the youth. So definitely the Ravens did get a shout out on Sunday.
Cool.
As well as me giving a shout out to Doc Rivers, who, by the way, looks like he will be at least a top seed. Now, we know what he does with it. Who knows? Because they've got the whole concept of play-in games, and teams that are usually at the top of the game had injuries, so they'll be in the middle, which can be very disruptive in a playoff situation and all of that, because I think the Lakers are going to be either a fourth or a fifth seed. But definitely right now it looks like either the 76ers or Brooklyn will be either the one or the two seed and head into the East Conference. So it does look kind of strong for Doc Rivers. And I did watch a little bit of the game with them against, I think they were playing Brooklyn, and they managed to pull off that victory. But like I said, it'll be interesting to see, because we're only a month away from NBA playoffs. And I want to say the TBT tournament, which the Golden Eagles, my Marquette team, won last year, is about to start as well. That might be starting in late April or maybe in May as well. But definitely I know a lot of folks are going to have their attention turned to the NBA, and I'm sure you're going to be paying attention to the draft, because you got to figure out who y'all are going to be getting in y'all's team and all of that, because I know you want to improve your Baltimore Ravens.
Definitely, definitely, you know, so we'll find out, man. You know, this is the time of year the draft's coming up. And,
right.
You know, we miss Ozzie Newsome, because he's usually that dude, you know. He's usually that dude, and Ozzie we trust. But now Ozzie has given the reins away, so we're kind of stuck. But we're not stuck. I think we'll make some good choices, and whoever we have will fit with you know.
And I know you were talking when I first came on, and as we get ready to wind down in the next few minutes and everything, 10 minutes or so, but where do you think we're going with this trial? Do you think Derek is going to get off, or do you think he's going to get manslaughter? Do you think they're going to be bold and actually get him for the charges of murder? So where do you think we're going with this trial? And if you were a predicted man, what do you think the jury is going to come at whenever they come back? Apparently they haven't come back today, so it'll either be probably tomorrow or Wednesday or something like that. But when the verdict is released, what is Dean's reflections and thoughts of which way we're going?
You know what? I don't think. Like, situations happen. They charged him. He's gone to trial. Now it's up to 12 people to determine his innocence or guilt. I really can't say which way it's going to go. Historically, it has not gone in our favor, you know, but you kind of hope that, in fact, I don't, you know, some people watch the trials. Like, I'm not really interested in watching it. I just want to see what that final outcome is, because now we'll figure out how we're going to move from there.
Yeah, that makes sense. We'll figure out our next move and all of that and go from that point. Because we can't make a move until the other party has made their move. Like I said before, I am hoping that people don't get carried away with vandalizing and doing things. There was some vandalizations that went on here in Durham, I want to say on Saturday, and there was definitely some vandalization of property and things in response to the Chauvin trial, and they hadn't even gone to jury yet at that point, as well as I think there was an incident involving a person that was in our local prison system that was out of the trans community, so there was some response to that as well. So there was a number of issues. They were all tied together, but they did go and have a protest, and there was at least some businesses that were vandalized and hit, and I agree with you that that's not helping anything in the bigger picture and everything. I mean, I don't mind, you know, particularly the businesses encourage it, because I've actually seen some beautiful murals if the business encouraged it by putting up cardboard or putting up things, one, to protect their business, but also asking people to do that artwork. So I've seen some beautiful murals when it's done correctly, but there's no need to tear down properties, particularly with folks that were not involved in the case at all. Sometimes I think that just as a people, we try to outlash at things, even though that's not what we're even mad at. So like I said, if you're going to be mad at something, outlash at what you're mad at.
Well, do something different, you know?
Right, or do something positive. Do something that's going to be progressive and positive and will keep people in a positive mindset and all of that kind of things going on, because I think too often we don't do that. We just kind of like just lash out and everything in that regards. What are some of the news stories that you think you're going to be trying to pay attention to over the next week or so as we get ready for next week? And I promise I will reach out to at least 5 or 6 people, and we're going to have a guest if I got to drag him here myself.
You know what? We'll see when it comes up. I really can't tell you what I'm focused on. Whatever catches my eye, that's what I'm going to grab a hold on to, and then we'll go from there, man. We'll see
Jay, just go with it and let it roll any which way that it'll go in that sense. Well, like I said, I don't mind us ending a few minutes early, if you don't mind a few minutes, because we've almost made
it to the two-hour
mark at all at everything. So that being said, folks can catch this replay definitely in a variety of places. But, Dean, you usually tell everybody where those replays are, so I'm going to let you do your thing.
All right, well, we can ready to get it in right now, and we're going to find something to close us out real quick. Let me find this here.
All right.
And try to get in here. But we got it. Ladies and gentlemen, a Straight Talk with Dean and Mark, Monday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't forget to catch our replays on the Skyhawk Radio Network tomorrow afternoon and Wednesday afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you missed those, then we do have replays on Radio Public, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Spreaker, TuneIn, Stitcher, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, Podcast Addict, CastBox, PodFollow, Deezer, GeoSaving, and right here, Blog Talk Radio, where we are part of the Level Podcast Network, where you can catch other interesting shows such as The Black Girl's Guide to Surviving Menopause, The Chef Gang Radio Show, Funk from the Front Seat, Funk Music with Zach, Learning Unwrapped, Less K-12 Better, Marketing with Rush, a.k.a. hashtag Rush Selfie, Mona Shake and the Minority Reports, Mullings, Music, and Memories with Mark Lee, The Online Dinner Party with Mark Lee, The Plant a Good Seed Podcast, The Reinvention Road Trip, She's on Call, The Just Podcast, The Mark Lee Show, The Spin It Social Hour, Virginia Interfaith Live, WNC Original Music, and of course, Straight Talk with Dean and Mark. Now, like I always say, when you walk outside your front door, showtime, and the world is your stage. Just make sure that people are not watching the rehearsal. With that being said, this is Six-Man Dean Geronimo. Have an outstanding week. We'll see y'all in 7 days.
That's right, folks. We'll see you in 7 days. I'll be trying to line up some amazing guests, somebody out of the world of creativity, entrepreneurship, or activism. And instead of me and Dean just kind of rambling on, we'll actually try to have a conversation with one of the folks in one of those fields, or maybe education as well, since we know that that's kind of the wheelhouses that I operate in. And I'm going to find some good guests to talk about something or another of interest. Who knows? I might even find somebody from Minneapolis to talk about the whole Chauvin trial and how that's going, because by then we might have a verdict. So I'm sure people will have an interesting thought about what's going on in that regard. So we're going to try to find some people to talk about news interest as well as a lot of things that they are involved in, because like me and Dean's like to do, we love to support folks that are doing positive things. And whether that's entrepreneurs or activists, we found a lot of folks that are doing positivity in our world, and we like to encourage our role in supporting those folks. And that's why we liked having Dr. Gwen on last week, and hopefully we'll have more amazing people like that on coming up a week from today, which will actually be April the 26th, if I remember my dates correctly and everything. So I just looked at my calendar, and yes, April 26th is the date that we will be back here talking about some more amazing issues. And of course, I might even be telling y'all about the plans for the Carolina Theater event that'll be going on in May. But I think that same week that we're doing our show will be the week that there's going to be some pre-recordings going on. So we'll have some of the folks that are doing pre-recording comments about the importance of the Carolina Theater to Durham, but also to the region as a whole. So we're looking forward to being part of that as well. And I've got some folks that are doing business coaching that I'm going to ask about popping in on our show as well. So like I said, I know we'll have at least one, maybe even two guests next week, because I've just got to do a better job of doing the old follow-through. So that's what I'm going to do this week and do a much better job of it. So we'll be back next week with great conversations. We'll be right back.